Book of Isaiah, chapter 1 and verse 18. Come now, let us reason together, saith Jehovah. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and hearken, ye shall eat the good of the land. If ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of Jehovah has spoken. And then a little reference in the book of Matthew, chapter 11. Book of Matthew, chapter 11, and verse 28. Come to me, all ye who labour and are burdened, and I will give you rest. I suppose most people like receiving invitations to things. Not everybody, but most of us like having an invitation, somewhere to go. And the gospel is the greatest invitation that has ever been sent out. The gospel is a message of great things. It's a message of how great a sinner each of us is, but it's a message also and centrally of what a great saviour we can find in the Lord Jesus Christ. And God is sending out the greatest invitation that has ever been sent, an invitation that everybody will respond to, an invitation that involves such weight and such gravity that it will determine where you spend eternity. Whether you spend eternity in heaven, worshipping and praising God forever and ever, or whether you spend eternity as away from God in the torment that the Lord speaks about on multiple occasions in the gospel. These are two very real places. And dear friend, tonight the invitation goes out so that you can respond to the invitation. Everybody in this room tonight has that responsibility placed upon them. You must respond to the invitation of the gospel. And God here in Isaiah, he says, come now, let us reason together, saith Jehovah. You know, this little passage here in Isaiah is absolutely the epitome of grace, if you like, because previous to this, earlier on in the chapter, we have a rather negative scene of the people, the children of Israel, God's people here. If you look at verse 4, he says, our sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that corrupt themselves. And you know, dear friend, tonight, as sinners, which we all are, we find ourselves very much reflected in what God describes here towards his people. We find, dear friend, in our hearts as sinners that we are idolatrous, away from God, full of sin, we've forsaken God, we've forgotten God. Dear friend, that is the sinner's position as before God tonight. And it's a difficult thing to come to realize how far we have fallen from God's standard. We've all, at the beginning in Genesis, it says that mankind was created in God's image. And yet, first few chapters, sin comes in, and a great divide has come in between man and God because of this thing called sin. And the Bible here says, he says, though your sins be as scarlet. You know, dear friend, each one of us has an account with God. God is keeping account of every single thing that we do in our lives down here. And one day, dear friend, we must all give an account of ourselves to God. At the end of Revelation, if I can quote it properly, end of Revelation, it says, and I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is that of life. And the dead were judged out of the things written in the book, according to their works. Dear friend, tonight, every single sin that you've ever committed will have to be answered for. Every single thing that you've thought or said or done or didn't do and should have done will have to be answered for. And every moment that passes and every day that goes by, we are adding to that great debt that we have before God. Our sins pile higher and higher each day. And they're described here as scarlet, something that stands out, something that is stained, something that is really obvious. And our sins, dear friends, can be the very obvious ones, or they can be the secret ones. The Lord talks in Ezekiel about the things that go into your mind, I know them. Everything is laid bare before God. You can pretend, dear friends, sitting in this room tonight, that you have your life sorted, that you can act like a Christian, that you can do things that Christians do. But unless, dear friend, you've actually come to know the Lord Jesus Christ personally, it is all for nothing. It is before God that you must stand. And it is a God that knows every single thing about you. The Lord can speak in the Gospels about even the hairs of your head are numbered. This is the God that created you, and it is the God to whom you must answer, the God with whom we have to do. There is no other alternative, dear friend. One day you will stand before God. And we were reading in the reading this afternoon, speaking about God's holiness and God's righteousness. Dear friend, God is a holy God, and God is a righteous God. And every sin that you've committed will be answered for, dear friend, tonight. That is a solemn background, if you like, to the gospel message. We have fallen short of God's standard. We have missed the mark. Infinitely short of what God has required. You look at the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the absolute perfection. That was God's standard. And how far short we come. How much our sins have separated us from a holy and a righteous God. Isaiah talks about we've all gone our own way. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've each gone to our own way. And dear friend tonight, that great debt that you have before God cannot be paid by anything you can do. The Lord speaks about it in Luke chapter 7 as a parable of the two debtors. And he makes the comment that neither had anything to pay. Neither had anything to pay. There is nothing that we can do from our side that can get the sin, the stain of sin, the curse of sin wiped clean from our lives. There is nothing that we can do. When I was a lot younger and I was living back in Ipswich, when in my parents' first house, I was running up and down the corridor, the hallway, holding a big bottle of cleaning product. I'm not quite sure why I was given cleaning product, but I was running up and down the hallway. And inevitably, I fell over, and there was a great pool of whatever it was. And it stained the hallway. And no matter how much that stain was scrubbed, it would not come out. It would not come out. And it was still there when we moved house. It did not come out. No matter how much it was scrubbed with all different sorts of things, the stain could not be removed. And it's the same in our lives. No matter what you do to try and mitigate, if you like, the sinful nature that you have, there is nothing that you can do. Coming to church will not save you. Reading your Bible just as a book and not having any interaction with the person that it speaks about will not save you. Spending lots of time with Christians will not save you. Being brought up in a Christian home will not save you. There's only one thing, dear friend, and that is coming in repentance and faith. Owning the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That's the only thing, dear friend. That's the way that God has set it up in the gospel. That's the way that God has designed, is that you come in repentance and faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Savior of sinners. And so, going back to that parable, if you like, in Luke, where he says they had nothing to pay. The next part is where grace steps in, isn't it? It says he freely forgave them both. And that's where we get here in Isaiah. Though your sins will be scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. This is where God steps in to the circumstances that we find ourselves. This is where God looks. There's a hymn, isn't there, about he looked on my helpless estate. God saw you, me, every single human being in their helpless position as away from God, sinners unable to save themselves. And what did God do? God could have written off the human race completely. We've read in Genesis about where God did step in judgment. God will eventually step in judgment in this world. But at the moment, it's grace. Because God didn't just give the human race up. He says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He looked on the human race, mankind down here, in their helpless, hopeless position as away from God. And what did he do? He sent his only begotten son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes we read John 3:16, don't we? We had it, I think, a couple of weeks back, preached here. And you know, it's probably the most well-known verse in the whole of Scripture. And yet it is more than a memory verse. If you really grasp what it meant for God to send his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, here to die in the place of sinners. What a God it is. What love lies behind that. You read in Philippians about the Lord Jesus Christ. Those steps down. He left highest glory. Came down here as a man. Found in the figure of a man. And then what? He had the insult, if you like, of being placed on that cross by men. Why? So that God could have a righteous basis tonight to come out towards you and I in blessing. It's all part of God's great plan of salvation. And if we really get what God has given and the love and the grace that lies behind the gospel message, dear friend, what can we possibly do but turn in repentance, thankfulness for what God has done in giving his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Though your sins will be scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. You see, God has done everything. There's nothing in this verse that even begins to hint at the sinful people here having anything to do with their sins. It's all done by God and for us in the gospel, with that sacrifice on the cross by the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the person that put into action God's great plan of salvation. Everything for God is wrapped up in the person of the Lord Jesus. There's nothing outside of Christ that God is interested in. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. In Corinthians it says about whatsoever promises a yea and amen in him. It's all about the Lord Jesus. It's all about his sacrifice and what he did, his death on that cross. He came to put into action God's great plan of salvation. And you know, it's a wonderful thing to think about, as I said, what a step down it was for the Lord Jesus when he came to this earth, this very earth down here, and lived as a man, lived as a perfect man, did everything that God had desired from man since man's creation, everything. For God was found in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the only person that God could say, this is my beloved son, in whom I found my delight. There's nobody else, but it was Christ only. Christ himself that God found satisfaction in. And it is only in Christ that we can find this free and full salvation. There's nobody else available. When the Lord Jesus Christ died on that cross, he said those three words, didn't he? It is finished. Paid in full. The great debt, dear friend, that you have been racking up with your sins can now be completely washed away because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's that old little hymn, isn't there? What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow, that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. There's no other basis, dear friend, to come into blessing other than the precious blood of the Lord Jesus shed on that cross at Calvary. There is no other way. God has provided in Christ the only way to salvation. He's given, if you like, his very best. There is nothing else that God could have done. He has given his own Son so that we, completely enemies of God, unmerited in every way, can come into the favour and blessing that God would have each and every person in this room to come into tonight. It's a wonderful message of salvation, and it's all been done by God himself. But dear friend, the only response, if we go back to the idea of this being an invitation, it does require a response from each person in this room tonight. God has provided everything. The message goes out, come. And all we have to do tonight, dear friend, is respond to that message in faith. Everything has been done. And you know, so you get this in Matthew. You get the Lord being able to say, come to me, all ye who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. You know, the Lord Jesus is able to send out that same invitation as well. Because of what he was looking forward, if you like, going forward to that cross, not many chapters on. He was there on that cross at Calvary, where the price was paid. The price that could not be paid by us was paid in full by the Lord Jesus Christ. I spoke earlier about God being a holy God and a righteous God. God couldn't overlook the sin that was scarlet, as Isaiah says. God couldn't overlook the sin that was as red as crimson. God has brought sin before him and judged it completely in the Lord Jesus Christ. The very object of sin itself found full condemnation when God poured out his wrath on the head of his beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we find in the gospel a God who is able to forgive your sins. Those individual things that you've done and said and thought can be washed away. But God has dealt with the root problem as well. The very nature of sin that we have in each of us has been dealt with completely. God has poured out on his Son the wrath that he had against it. And now he's able to burst forward in blessing and love and grace towards each and every person in this room tonight because of that wonderful sacrifice on that cross at Calvary. And dear friend, it is open to all. He says, come to me, all ye who are who labor and are burdened. You know, the way of the world at the moment is that people love to group themselves into certain demographics. The whole idea that you become sort of identified with a certain group of people. But the message of the gospel is, it's whosoever will. It's open to all. There is nobody, dear friend, outside of the scope of blessing. There is nobody that has gone too far into sin that God cannot reach them. It says, come unto me, all ye. The gospel goes out to whosoever will. Dear friend, God has provided in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, a sacrifice so great that every single person alive in this world today, if they would come in repentance and faith, could shelter under that blood. It is such great a sacrifice that every single person in this room tonight, if you'll come in repentance and faith, you can have God's assurance that your sins will be wiped away, never to be brought up again, as far as the east is from the west. Only God can do that. Only God can wipe away the sins that you've accumulated over however many years. Only God is able to bring full and free salvation. Dear friend, there is no other. Come unto me, all ye who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. You know, God, I keep saying it, God has only the Lord Jesus Christ before him. There's nobody else that will do. God's not interested in fixing the broken condition that we were in before. God gives us a brand new heart, a brand new life. If we go back to that story of me running down the hallway with the shampoo, couldn't scrub it out. You know, the only way to get that stain out is to take the carpet up completely and start again. And that's what God's done. God isn't interested in a repair job. God has the Lord Jesus Christ before him. And we are able to stand before God as in Christ. We don't stand on our own merit. We never have done and we never will. We stand on the merit and the foundation that the Lord Jesus Christ has set because of that sacrifice. God looked on that blood and said, when I see the blood, I will be satisfied. And we can have the full assurance of being able to come into God's presence, to enjoy all the blessings that he would have us to enjoy, to have the hope of one day meeting our Saviour face to face, to have a home ready for us in heaven, to have the promise of knowing that we will be praising and worshipping God for all eternity. What's it based on? Nothing that we've done. It's based on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's based on that blood. Isn't that such a relief, if you like? The religions of this world tell you to do all sorts of things. And yet what peace you can have in knowing that God has done everything. And all that's required now is for you to come in repentance and faith. Come unto me, all who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. You know, it's all about Jesus. The Christianity and being a Christian is not about subscribing to a set of rules or a set of ideals. It's about a personal relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's about coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ personally as your Savior. You know, pretty much every chapter in the whole of God's Word, somewhere you can find the Lord Jesus Christ. That you go through the Old Testament and scarcely you can turn a page before you come across some picture or shadow of the Lord Jesus. And in the New Testament, everything is there based on what he taught, what he did, or his sacrifice on that cross. The Lord Jesus Christ is the absolute center point of everything for God. He is the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's the root and offspring of David. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He is the resurrection. He is the Good Shepherd. He is the Savior of sinners. He is the friend of sinners. And he is the only one tonight, dear friend, qualified to be an all-sufficient sin Savior. There is nobody else. There is no other name given under heaven amongst men whereby ye must be saved. Dear friend, we've heard many, many times about the Lord Jesus Christ, but tonight, come to know him personally. I just want to take you back to Isaiah very briefly, because after the very well-known verse, there's a little bit of a warning. After the come now, let us reason together. Verse 19 says, if you be willing and hearken, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of Jehovah has spoken. I don't think I really need to say too much about this. But dear friend, tonight, as I said, you have a responsibility now to respond to God's invitation. It says, if you be willing and hearken. If you've listened to the message tonight, you've realized that you're a sinner, that you have no hope before God. God is there with arms outstretched in blessing, willing to bring you into all the blessing, willing to show you what he has desired for you, willing to bring you into this great company called the church, willing to give you his Holy Spirit so that you can live down here for him. It's all available if you are willing and if you hearken. But dear friend, you can walk out this room tonight having heard the gospel yet again about Christ. You've heard about the cross. You've heard about the blood. You can walk out of this room. But dear friend, just know that you are in a very perilous and dangerous position. You do not know when the next time you will hear the gospel message. You do not know what tomorrow will bring. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming back very soon to bring all those that belong to him to be with himself. We will go and meet him, it says in the air. That's the wonderful hope of a believer. But dear friend, that moment will close up this scene of grace. And dear friend, the gospel as it goes out today will cease to go out. The opportunity will be missed. The Bible never promises that you can have tomorrow or next week. The Bible promises one moment in time, and that is now. Dear friend, it is now is the well-accepted time. And I just want everybody to be very clear. If you are willing and hearken, God has provided everything. And yet, dear friend, if you walk out of this room having rejected the message of grace, you will find, dear friend, that you will one day have to stand before God as a judge. You will have to stand before God on that scene that I spoke about earlier in Revelation, the great white throne. And you will have to answer for every single thing that you've done. And dear friend, you will have no answer, because God has provided the way of salvation now in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm sure you will probably, standing before God in that moment, you will be reminded of all those times where you had the opportunity to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and you rejected. And dear friend, tonight, you have that one, perhaps one last opportunity to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, to know him as a Savior, as a shepherd, as a friend and a guide. God's done everything for you. It's all ready. The invitation goes out. And now, dear friend, your answer needs to be, before you leave this room tonight, will you accept or reject the invitation of God's grace? For his name's sake. Amen.